You know, how would I say it? I would like to say I always thank Pastor for the opportunity. Because, you know, when you prepare a message as an individual, you always get to feast upon God's Word. And before you get up here, you get nervous. And believe me, I am, because it's from a different point. You look at out at the crowd, and everybody's looking, and you want their attention because God should be glorified by what is being said. I thank Jerry for reading the scripture this morning, and he read in Hebrews 10. But what I would like to do this morning is I want to start in Hebrews 6, and I want you to turn there, and we're going to read that six verses 1-6. And now I'm going to tell you that this is a very difficult passage to preach. This is a very difficult passage of scripture. I want to tell you that it's very, very demanding. It's very demanding of the believer, the born-again believer. But I want to tie this together with some other verses in the Gospel. And I'm going to read these verses, and then we'll start in here, and we'll dig into this and see what God has for us this morning. It said, starting in chapter 6, verses 1-6, it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from death, dead works of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." And verse 3, "And this will we do, if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come." Now pay attention to verse 6. And we're going to get into verse 6 at the end of this message. "If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." Let's go ask God to lead us. Our Heavenly Father, this is your word, and we thank you so much for it. We ask that you would give us a mindset that we would understand and that we would glorify you by what is brought forth here today. We just thank you and praise you for your word. We ask this in your name. Amen. First of all, I'd like to ask you a question. What is a Christian man? And we won't leave it at that. I want to ask you, what is a Christian woman? Think about that. You know, this scripture here is designed, and it seems to be, to warn us against the dangers of going back into sin. There's also an exhortation in it to attain the highest degree or knowledge of the doctrine of Christian life. There's a divine blessing in it. Then we think of it, and we think of the question, do we really show that we are truly saved? Now I want to step aside from this passage of scripture because I need an illustration to help me out. How many of you know John 14:6? I'll bet you there's a lot of you can say that by heart. We that is scripture that we ponder and we put in our hearts. And what I want to do is I want to use John 14:6 as an illustration. There's some real detailed things that we should understand there. The verse says, and Jesus is talking to Thomas, his disciple. Thomas asked him the question, how would we know? And it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now look at that verse. I wish you would turn there to John 14:6. I want you to really have this verse soak into you. There's three aspects that I want you to notice. The verse is singular, though. It makes a single statement, but there's three aspects to it. It says, I am the way. What is Jesus saying there? But that, if you look up here at my fingers, that is the first aspect. I am the way. The second aspect of that verse is the truth and the life. Then the third aspect of the verse is no man cometh unto the Father, which is talking about heaven. Then it goes right back to the first aspect, which is but by me. I want to use that as an illustration this morning in chapter 6 and these six verses. As we think of that as an illustration, I would say if I'm here behind this pulpit right now, if salvation is what Jesus said, I am the way, there's only one way, people, into heaven. There isn't a million ways into heaven. There's one way. And he told Thomas about that. Now, if I walk over here to the threshold of this platform, and this is salvation, I step off this platform, what's next? What's next in our life as a born-again believer? I go back up here, I'm at the threshold, and I want to repeat that. I'm at the threshold of salvation. And I want to emphasize to anybody that's in this crowd today or this auditorium that there's only one way into heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, and he made that way by dying and going on the cross. So this message, in explaining it to and bringing this out and preaching this, is for me and it's for you. If I ever say you in my talking this morning, I mean all of us. It's just a matter of I've said it kind of wrong. But again, I step off. Now I'm a believer. What's in it for me as the Christian life? What do I serve? Do I glorify God? If this is one way to salvation, and I step off of here, are there a million different ways that we look and we travel as believers and how we live? Think about that. Let's look at Hebrews 6. Let's look at the first verse. It says, therefore, oh boy, now we can't go on. We have to back up. Because that is one of the biggest therefores there is in the Bible. And we would have to back up into chapter 5. How far do we back up? In looking this over and studying this, I think we should back up to verse 12. And let's read that. And let's look what the therefore, the back of therefore means. And this is for the believer. It says here in verse 12, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you, again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, if you were all in Sunday school this morning during the month of February, we were learning a verse that's in 1 Peter 2:2. It's in 1 Peter, the second chapter, it's the second verse, and we talked about it, and Pastor touched upon some things. I was hoping he wouldn't get too far into it because, you know, Pastor can preach a whole sermon on a verse pretty easy. So, but anyway, to get to that verse in Peter, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, we're talking about milk here, and we're talking about strong meat, and what would you say? Going to a manly maturity? That's what you could say. But we were stopped first in verse 6 with the first word, therefore, and we had to look back. And then bringing that into focus with that verse that we learned in Sunday school, people, it's pretty sad. If we don't grow as Christians, think of that. If we do not grow as a Christian in His Word. We should be studying. We should have our own devotions. We should be studying. We should be meditating upon it. And we should have an understanding of the Word. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I stand before you, and I have studied this several different times. People, this passage of Scripture has changed my life. It should change yours. Let's go on and leave the therefore. There's a couple things I probably could say yet, and sometimes I get a little bit ahead of my notes. But you know the oracles of God that are mentioned in verse 12 of chapter 5. And it talks about the understanding, and then it talks about being unskilled. I penciled down here, and I want to read to you a statement that I made, kind of penciled down and brought out of these four, these 12, 13, and 14 in chapter 5, these verses. And I'm going to read it to you. It is a sin and a shame to be saved for a long time and in a church and be a babe in understanding. That we're not growing if we don't understand God's Word. But as time goes and it gets away from us, let's go on beyond the therefore. A lot of times when we think and we study God's Word and a therefore comes out or a wherefore comes out, we look back as to what it says, and that's what we have done. Let's go on. And let's look in, and let's kind of open up that verse 6. It says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. And I want to stop right there in that verse, because I want to say, it talks about leaving the principles. When I was standing over here and stepping off of here and illustrating this, I came to salvation. Salvation is a principle that's documented in God's Word. And from that point on, we go on to study God's Word and to learn and to grow thereby. So, we are not necessarily leaving salvation. And I don't want you to even think that. Salvation is precious. It's an eternal gift. Now, but it says we leave that part of what we have learned in the Gospels and what it has said in John 14:6. We leave that and we go on to stronger meat. We go on, we don't continue to drink the milk of the Word all the time. We get an understanding. Why do we do that? We do that to grow by. Another reason we do that is to so we know how to do the will of God in our lives. Now look what it says here. Let us go on to perfection. You see this? This is my jackknife. People, I want your attention. You hear me? Think of what's being said here. We go on to perfection here. We don't stop here. You see, there's one way to live. There's one way to be saved. That's the illustration. I know I get a little emotion about it, but God's Word is sometimes difficult. What does it continue to say? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. You know, if I, in my notes I wrote, and think about this, if I measure myself by Mrs. Verygood or Joe Go to Church. You know, honey, you often said to me, you think you're perfect. But when I judge myself according to that, I am perfect. But you know, when I take this Bible, Jimbo's got a long ways to go. I'll tell you, there are a lot of things in here that I need to understand yet. You know, we're into that, I've read that first verse, and I want to change course right now because I want to tell you a story. and listen to what I'm saying in this story. You know, I like the woods. I log. I should be retired the way my wife says, but I enjoy it. up north, you know, they haul a lot of wood up into Sappy. That's up north or just south of Glidden. There's a big wood yard up there. And in telling you this story, I have noticed a real nice truck on the road, a truck and a pup for hauling. A pup is a trailer behind. We sometimes call them a dog. But you know what impressed me about this truck? That thing has horsepower. Wow. And several times I've met it on the road going back and forth, you know. I thought, boy, I wonder just how much, because I noticed he can just travel these great big loads, you know, 100,000-pound loads, and away he goes. The other morning, and I smiled to myself, I came down off the White Rock Road, down the hill, came to the intersection, here he comes, and he's going by. I'm going north. I said, we're going to see what this truck has, because I'm going to follow him. Now, when he has to slow down going into Fifield, and I had to come out of the intersection and catch up to him a little bit. But when he left Fifield, he got on her. And that he was right up to 60 miles an hour, and it held there. And I thought, this is going to be interesting going over the top of this hill that's between Fifield and Park Falls, because I'm going to be right behind him and just see if he varies in speed any. Do you know what that truck did? Them twin stacks, nice chrome, just a little heat come out. And that truck went over the top of that hill 60 miles an hour. Now that's what you call torque horsepower. That's the pulling power. Torque is the pulling power. If I'd want to say to the ladies, if you ever pushed a baby carriage and you push it uphill, if you push it at the same speed, that's a walking torque that you keep the same speed. But that truck had torque. And it was impressive. I said right out loud, and I grinned and I said, wow, this is unbelievable. He went down the next the hill and probably even had the cruise on, come into Park Falls, slowed down a little bit, hit the lights out of Park Falls because we were going north. I was going to Mellon. He was going to Sappy. That truck had torque. It maintained 60 miles an hour just as nice as you can. You could ever see with a load of wood on. Why did I tell you this story? Why I told you this story is I want to lend some torque to verse 1. The pulling power of verse 1. And I'll read it. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Let's go over to, now you know these verses too. Let's go over to, I think it's 1 Timothy 2:16. And we're going to lend some torque to this verse 1. Let's see, 2:16. I'm sorry. I got the it's 2 Timothy. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 2:16. Keep your finger in there at Hebrews, because we're going to go right back there. Let's look at this verse, and we'll lend some torque to verse 1. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and correction, for instructions in righteousness. That lends torque. Do you know that, go back to verse 6, to chapter 6 in Hebrews, the first verse. That verse in Hebrews was written and inspired by God. And I want to make another note here, and another, I want to draw your attention to John 14:6. That was also inspired by God. That's not Jim Hintz saying this. This is God's word saying this. When he said there was one way, he inspired that so we would know there's only one way into heaven. And when he says in this verse to walk towards perfection, and believe me, I have put in my notes to aim at perfection, because I'm a mortal man, but that does not give me an excuse, because God's word said we are to go unto perfection. Do you know what that means? That's a righteousness. And if you don't think this one way that I explained here has anything to do with your life or anything to do with your understanding and the one way to walk towards perfection, if we go on with that verse that I have illustrated, when it says here that the truth and the life of that verse of John 14:6, and no man cometh unto the Father, that's heaven. Do you realize the Father is righteous? And when he's talking about perfection here, and we aim at perfection, you know that that's a reason why, and I have a lot of times asked the question, why when we're saved aren't we made righteous? But we're just pronounced righteous. Because God wants to know whether we are truly saved and our heart is in tune with Him. Those are the reasons why. And we have lended torque to this passage of Scripture here. Let's continue on, and I know time is going to get away from me, but because this is quite a message, and we should get into the 10th chapter yet. And it says, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. People, verse 2 is the second aspect. It's the second aspect of John 14:6, because it talks about the truth and the life, the way we're supposed to live. Let's continue on. And this we will do if God permits. That's kind of hard to understand, isn't it? If God permits. Do you want to know what's really being said there? We will strive to perfection and aim to perfection if God wills. And what it means is we rely upon God. I could stop right here, and I want to ask you a question. You know, it can be awful difficult to walk a perfect life. You want help? It's here. Completely. It tells us how. It said in the second verse of the doctrine of baptism. I want to just touch upon this a little bit. This is a sermon in itself that could take 5 or 6 Sundays in studying this, but there are some things that we should understand. You know, when we are saved, baptism is something that we look forward to. It illustrates to us as a believer. Now, it's one of the principles of God in obtaining perfection. The doctrine of baptism by water is an emblem. Hear what I'm saying now. Don't lose your train of thought and you go on and you say, Jim Hintz said that, and I heard him say that, but you didn't hear all of it. Let's listen up now. It says, by water is an emblem of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a deep, deep subject. But when we are baptized, what are we thinking? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's what is being symbolized by the water and by immersion. But that has a lot to do with our spiritual baptism by the Holy Spirit. It's an emblem. We are celebrating what the Holy Spirit has done. And we'll leave it at that. But that is one of the principles. I could go on, we could go on here for 3 hours on what the Holy Spirit is to a believer. I will say this much. The blood of Christ that was shed for the soul the blood of Christ that was shed for the soul was justification. And the grace of the Spirit, now I'm talking about the grace of the Holy Spirit, is sanctification. And that's what we're talking about, is perfection. That walk from salvation to the perfection that we desire. There is no other way to live, to be a Christian. If you want peace and contentment in your heart. When we looked at this, that illustration, the second part, the second aspect of John 14:6, is the truth of God's word and the Christian life we live. And we're going to go on to that in verse 2, because the third one is the resurrection. The saved believer will be resurrected to life eternal. That's a promise in that verse in John 14:6. Let's continue on. And it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come. That's a description of the believer. There's no doubt about it. If you are a believer, now look at verse 6. And I hope God gives me the words. If they shall, and it says shall, fall away. It doesn't say may fall away. It says shall fall away. To renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. People, if we are not perfect, we have a hidden closet. Then we have to get rid of it. It's wrong. This is apostasy in verse 6. You know that you can step off of this platform and think you're going towards perfection, and you can be apostatized. And what I mean by that is you have hidden things that are wrong. Let's go over to chapter 10. I want to start with verse 19. I'm going to go to verse 27. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness of the blood of Jesus by a new and living way. You see the word way there? What did Jesus say in John 14:6? He said, I am the way. That's the new living way that's being talked about here in this verse. And we'll continue on. Which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience of our bodies, washed with pure water. You know what I'm reading here? This is the believer's access to God. Let's continue on. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And he let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. That's assembling ourselves in church. Isn't that so plain? We are to worship God. We are to glorify Him through our singing. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, for exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, watch verse 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross once and for all for us. If you willfully go back into apostasy and are apostatized, now listen to what's being said here. It's wrong, and you're a mortal man. Anything is possible with God, but not with a mortal man. Sin is blinding. You can wind up living a life that way. We are to strive to perfection. Verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Who are we talking about, the adversary? We're talking about Lucifer, a higher archangel that was thrown out. That's the devil. This is fiery furnace of indignation will devour him. What do you think it does to a mortal person? If you would continue on in that type of life. You know, people, I said this changed me. And it did. But I don't necessarily like to stand here. I know this is a very convicting message, and it was put there for us to be convicted and to have understanding and to know how to live. Because I think there's way too many Christians nowadays have come to the threshold of salvation and they go all their different directions. And what kind of a testimony are we, as Jim hints, to the rest of the world around him? When he steps off of here and he lives like the world does. I'm not striving to perfection. I have a hidden closet. That's why we have to get real with this passage of Scripture. I want to take you to Galatians 5:22 to end this message. This is another principle that we should look at. This is put in God's Word. And I don't like to leave this with a lot of hardcore in a way. But Galatians 5:22 says, talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And this is what we should try. This is what we should aim at. And this is a principle that God has given us. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law against that. But there is a law. I'm going to tell you something. And when we think about it, when it comes to the punishment between us, between a person being saved and the punishment to the person that is not saved, the punishment will not go on forever. But what the punishment was will. If you're going to spend eternity in hell because you have rejected God, you have rejected His way, that punishment will go on forever. But if you are saved and you continue to live a life that is pleasing to Him, and you aim at perfection. And I will read these verses again. For the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Strive to those principles. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for what it tells us, how it instructs us. The reproof, the instructions, how precious it is. May we take it to our hearts. May we be always conscious of it, and may we have an understanding. We just thank you and praise you. We ask that you'd guide and direct us, and we ask this in your name. Amen.